Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to read the entire chapter. You all know that this is narrative, right? And so with narrative, I have to read the story before we can talk about it together. So let's find our text for today. And if you're able to stand, would you do so? I want to read these verses in your hearing, and then we together are going to ask God's blessing upon us in our meeting. Daniel 6, beginning at verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom the satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and satraps sought to find a ground of complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error of fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Verse 6. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god of man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Verse 13. Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, who you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. Verse 27. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And finally, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen. Our Father, we need your help now. We ask you to meet with us and to teach us, lead us in the truth. Lord, give us good understanding of what you have to say to us today. And then grant us grace to order our lives in obedience to what you say and mean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So as we think about these truths, I want us all to remember that last week we saw Daniel as a teenager, right? He was a teenager taken in captivity. He was taken into Babylon. And you know, this was done by the will of God, right? Chapter 1 and verse 2 says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hands, okay? And so, even disaster, things that may look like disaster to you and me, are under God's mighty control, right? Nothing is outside of his mighty control. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest disasters in all time and eternity was planned by God. In Acts 2, it said that Jesus was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. It was all set in place by God. Nothing happens outside of his control. Nothing. Nothing. And so, even as we see this difficult circumstance for God's people, it was all by God's plan. Nothing takes him by surprise. Right? We also saw that God can even use our enemies. And it's a sad thing when God has to use our enemies to discipline us, but he'll do it. He'll use your boss, who may not even be a Christian, to discipline you if you won't discipline yourself. You see, he'll use the police to discipline you if you won't discipline yourself. If you won't learn to drive the speed limit, God will use the police to teach you to drive the speed limit. And so God wants us to discipline ourselves, but when we don't, he'll use someone else to discipline even his own children. But the irony of it is that he also will use those people to take care of us.
Yes.
Come on, most of us work on jobs that are not Christian jobs. Most of us get paid by people who don't love our Jesus.
Amen.
And so God uses even unbelievers to take care of his people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then we saw that the Lord gave Daniel, even though he was in this situation that was unpleasant, God gave Daniel convictions. And his convictions defined how far he was willing to go on that job. His convictions defined what his limitations were going to be. Right? Daniel 1:8. Daniel resolved. He resolved in his own heart that he wasn't going to eat the king's food. I'm not going to go as far as putting these special relationships between me and the king. Because there are certain things the king's going to ask me to do I can't do. And so you and I learn that on your job, you have to define those limitations. You have to decide how far you can go with your coworkers. You don't let them decide. You don't let your boss or the president of your company decide. You decide between you and your God how far you are willing to go, and you let the consequences fall where it may. Right, Christian?
Amen.
We learned that together. And then finally, last week, we saw that God rewarded Daniel's faithfulness, even in this hostile environment. And so none of us needs to assume that because you're on in a really difficult situation at work, or you may serve in a government position, you may serve on a committee in your neighborhood, just because the environment is awful doesn't mean that God can't use you. Doesn't mean that God won't give you favor. God still, he brings light into the darkest of situations.
Yes.
And you and I shouldn't be reluctant. If we are to be the light, go and shine.
Amen.
Go and shine. We learn that God's will, done God's way, will yield godly results that everyone can see. No one can deny. All right? That's God's plan. He wants even the world to see my way is the best way.
Yes.
And he wants you to demonstrate that. Amen?
Yes.
Now today, we're going to look a little further into the life of Daniel. I kind of divided our thoughts up this way. We're going to see Daniel before he got to the lion's den. Then we're going to see Daniel after he got in the lion's den. And then finally, we'll see Daniel when he's out of the lion's den. God is good. Just because you have to go in doesn't mean you're going to stay in
Amen.
Trouble.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
So we don't have to run from trouble. You don't have to run from it. Thank God for that.
Yes.
So, as we begin, let's look at the first three verses here. Now, we're going to see God exalted Daniel in the workplace, okay? Now, Daniel's a government worker, all right? And so God wants some believers working in government. Amen, Christian. God has some government jobs for Christians, just like he does all other fields. All right? And so in this job, you find that the king needed some honest men. The king needed some men that weren't going to lie and cheat and steal from him. You see? And I told you last week, that's the reason the world looks to Christians, because Christians are the ones who are supposed to be honest.
Amen.
Christians are the ones who are supposed to show up on time if you say you're going to be on time.
Amen.
Christians are the ones who are supposed to do what they say. Christians are the ones who are supposed to be loyal. You see? And so the world looks for these characteristics in believers. Look at verse 2. The king set these satraps and people in place in verse 2, and over them all, three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. You see? These key supervisors had to be honest. They had to be loyal, and the king said, that Daniel is one of those. I can count on him. My brother, my sister, that needs to be you and me. People need to look out and see you and me and say, I know I can count on that one. I've seen them. I've seen them at work. And then you notice the Lord distinguished Daniel through his godly character. He demonstrated through the way he worked that Daniel was different. Now, don't miss this point. You know, we've only read a few chapters here. In chapter 1, Daniel's a teenager. Daniel is over 80 years old now. Okay. So we've covered 60 years mm-hmm. in these four or five chapters. He's an old man. Mm-hmm. But he just age shouldn't change your character.
Amen.
You can't let your guard down just because you have gotten what you might consider to be older. Amen, Christian?
Amen.
Yeah. Daniel's an old man, but he's a faithful old man. Hallelujah. God had put these special abilities in Daniel, but God didn't do the work for Daniel. All right? Christian, listen to me. God gives you the ability to do the work, but God's not going to do the work for you. You got to show up on time. You got to be the one punching the clock on time. You got to be the one making your meetings at your work, at your job on time. You got to be the one getting your information in on time. You got to be the one to do the work. God says, I gave you everything you need. Now you go do a good job. Mm-hmm. Christian, you cannot presume upon grace. Yeah, there are some legitimate times that we have problems. But you shouldn't be the one that the boss always know that you're going to always be a problem. That shouldn't be you, Christian. God gives us these special abilities, but we have to be faithful. Yeah, you know, one of my favorite verses is that Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him. Brings him before the great. God says, I've given you what you need. And if you'll use it, I'll open doors for you. But you're not going to get it by laying back, waiting for something to drop in your lap. You got to go to work. You got to use what I gave. As you use what I gave you and stay faithful in whatever little bit you're supposed to do, I'll open doors for you.
Yes, sir.
Same way in the church. You got to use what God has given you and where he's assigned you to work. Mm-hmm. And wait for God to open doors.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's what he says he'll do.
Yes.
Right, Trinity?
Amen.
That's the reason we're not sitting around trying to open our own doors.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
No, God says, I open doors that no man has
yet. Yes. Yes. Yes.
If the door is not open to you right now, leave it alone. Right?
Amen.
We're not trying to build a church.
Amen.
I hope y'all know that.
Amen.
There's a lot of men that have built churches.
Yeah.
No. We're waiting on the Lord to build.
Amen.
When he builds, he builds. No man can tear down.
Yeah.
No man. Hallelujah. And so, you remember Paul had to write to Timothy, that young preacher. Remember in 1 Timothy 4? And so, Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift, the gift that's in you. So, you see, this can happen in the church. You can get lazy with your gifts right in the church. Even though you got everything necessary to do the job, you can get lazy. God forbid that it should happen to anybody here, right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We're not going to be lazy Christians. And so God exalted Daniel in the workplace. But then you notice that the enemy, and this is the way it works on the job, isn't it? God promotes you, and the enemy does not like that. And so so you see, this is what's happening in verses 4 through 12. The enemy begins to plot against Daniel in the workplace. And so you got envy and hatred that motivated these co-workers. They actually were plotting to do physical harm to Daniel. This is serious business. Y'all do know this. They weren't plotting to get him demoted. No. The plot was designed to get Daniel killed. That's serious envy and hatred. Serious envy and hatred. But the situation is, according to verses 4 and 5, they couldn't find any fault with him on his job. So they had to start looking in his private life. And I want to tell you, if people on your job are after you, They're not going to stop just looking at what you're doing at you see on the job.
Yeah.
If they're determined to bring you down, they're going to keep looking and digging. Amen, Christian.
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
It's happened. It was happening 2,500 years ago. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
You see what they did? Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find the ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful.
Yes.
And no error of fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." But see, Daniel and his relationship to God is not off grounds to them. That's not off limits.
Mm.
If we have to go after him and his God, we'll go after them.
Amen. Amen.
Because the fool has no fear of God in him. That's the reason he's called a fool. Now I want you to notice this. Unbelievers are good planners. When wicked people plan schemes, they plan good schemes. See, this was a well-organized scheme here. Satan is a thinker and a planner. He thinks he's wiser than God. That's what got him in trouble. But he hadn't learned his lesson. So this was a well-organized scheme. Look at verse 6. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king. Look at verse 11. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel. Look at verse 15. Then these men came by agreement to the king. See that idiom, that phrase, came by agreement? That means they planned this. They took time to plan this. So don't you think while you're concentrating on trying to do a good job that everybody else is thinking about the same thing. God said be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. He didn't say be naive and ignorant.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
There's a proverb. If you haven't ever seen this proverb, jot it down. I don't remember exactly how it goes. It's Proverbs 14:16. It says that it's talking about the wicked man and wicked people. And it says they don't even sleep until they've come up with some wrong. They stay up late at night scheming and planning, trying to come up with a wrong to make people stumble. And so I'm saying to you that what we're looking at right here is typical of people in the workforce who have determined to bring a Christian down. Determined to bring a believer down. Now notice what they did. They decided on a scheme that would actually use the king's pride. Right? They know that the king had this ego, like this pride and arrogance, like most kings in this day and time. And so the plan was, now this was a plan. They thought this through. They got together and planned this out. Let's go to the king. And let's say to the king, "Oh, king, you know, you're so great.
Yes.
Why don't you set for 30 days, why don't you make yourself God?" Because this was common. God kings were common because kings were worshipped. And he said, "You know, it's only 30 days. It's only a 30-day plan, so it really can't hurt, king. But during this 30 days, anybody caught worshiping any other god gets thrown in the lion pen." Now the king just thought, "Well, this is great. I'm worthy. I'm worthy to be worshipped. So, and 30 days ain't too less, a reasonable amount of time." But see, the king don't know. This ain't a plot. This ain't a plan put together for the king.
Yeah.
This is a scheme and a plan put together to get them.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
And so, we got this plot that has been put in place. And by the way, they want this to be a law, right?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to put a law on the books.
Yes, sir.
And this law says anybody in the Medo-Persian kingdom
that gets caught praying to any other god is going to get thrown in the lion's den. That's obvious that this has only this is designed to get certain people.
Right. Yes.
They knew it. The king should have known it. But you see, he's too caught up in his pride and his arrogance. All right?
And that's what they're playing on. They're playing on the king's arrogance.
Yes, sir.
Notice what Daniel says. Notice what happens with Daniel. Daniel knew about the plot, but Daniel also knew and understood that his help comes from the Lord, not the king.
Yeah, yeah.
The king might have, the king's been good to me. The king's promoted me, but I'm not looking to the king to deliver me out of this. Mm. Daniel knows that his help, look at verse 10.
Yes.
When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And what did he do? He got down on his knees and he prayed just like he always did. You and I are supposed to know where our help comes from. Yes. You and I are supposed to know that God may be using that company to give you that paycheck, but that company is not the one paying you. God is the one who takes care of all of his children, right?
Amen.
And so Daniel knows that his help comes from the Lord. And I want to say this to you as we leave this point. Jesus warned us because he didn't want any of us to be deceived. In John 15, Jesus says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first.
Yes.
If you were of the world, what? The world would love you. But because you're not of the world, you can expect hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, this is just a sobering reminder to all of us. We all are in this world. We have to work with people and genuinely work with them. Now, we're not talking about any kind of fake platitudes.
Right.
We genuinely have to work with unbelievers, but we're never to be deceived that there's a love between us and them. We love them, but don't get that twisted.
Yeah, come on, brother.
Just because we love unbelievers does not mean that they love us.
Right?
Amen.
Jesus says, remember that if you are of the world, they would love you. So that's Daniel before the lion's den. Let's look at, start with verse 13. Then I want you to notice that this is when the king realizes that he's been tricked. He realizes that he's been deceived. This is really amazing. Deceitful, scheming, wicked people will use anybody to get to carry out their plans. They'll use their parents, their grandparents. They'll use neighbors. They'll use their siblings. You know, in this case, they'll use their bosses, high officials, because a wicked plan isn't reasoning through who's involved. A wicked plan is only concerned about getting their whatever they want done.
Yeah.
They don't care who gets hurt. All right? And so this plan then was carried out. And I want you to notice, look at verse 14. Once the plan was in place, not even the king of the country could rescue Daniel. You see verse 14? Well, look at 13 first. You know, and you can see in 13, after they had gotten the king to establish this law, and the king started, he was a little bit slow about implementing it. Verse 13, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Now the real plot is revealed. They never told him that up front, did they? When a scheme is being put together, they never tell you the whole truth. The truth comes out, and then look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Not even the king could rescue Daniel. So this is a thought that I had. I want to leave it with you. People in high position can sometimes get trapped with their own rules and laws. The very folks that make the laws and rules sometimes get twisted up in them themselves, and they become ineffective and weak. It's happening in Washington, D.C. right now.
The lawmakers are so twisted up in all the laws they got, nothing gets done. These are the powerful people in the United States. But they're all tangled up in, they made the laws. You know that, right?
Yes.
These are the ones who have made the laws, and the laws now got them all tangled up.
Yes.
The king was the one that made this law. Now he had no plans of hurting Daniel. But now the law has the king tied up to. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something about laws. Laws can oftentimes bring injustice to the innocent. Mm-hmm. Daniel didn't have anything to do with this.
Amen.
Daniel wasn't doing a thing wrong. But the law was made to hurt the innocent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed. When people have self-centered interests, they make it sound good. When politicians can make things sound really good when they are laying it all out. I'm sure these politicians, they won the king over because it sounded so good.
Yes.
And that's what a lie is. Mm-hmm. A lie is, it started with Satan and Eve. He made that lie. The Bible says Eve was what? Deceived. He made that lie sound good. Christians need to listen. Discern what you are hearing today. So that you don't get caught up in the same trap. It's happening right now. And I see Christians digging their heels in, and I'm for this and I'm for that. You need to be careful.
Amen.
You don't know what's behind all of that. You don't know where it's going. You just need to be for God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm on the Lord's side.
Yes.
Don't be lining up on the people and parties. Be careful.
Amen.
You do know there won't be no parties in heaven.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All these things that we get so frustrated about here, we just got to learn to be very...
You see, Daniel didn't get caught up in that, did he?
I mean, he's in the same position as everybody else, but Daniel stays loyal to his God. If you all want to choose sides and make laws, that's fine. I'm going to stay committed to my God.
Amen. All right? Laws can bring injustice to innocent people. And I found this next thing very interesting. You look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel." Now, are you thinking? I want you to think. This should sound like some gospel activity here.
Yes, sir.
If you were thinking, you should say, "Well, this sounds like something that I've read before in the New Testament."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the schemers seal the entrance with a stone, use the king's signet ring to make sure nobody can move the stone away, and they thought for sure, "We got Daniel now.
Uh-huh.
We got him now."
Yes, sir.
All the powers have come together,
uh-huh,
and we got this weak Daniel now. There's no way he can escape. Does that sound familiar?
Amen. Amen.
We'll make it plain here in just a few minutes if it doesn't sound familiar to you. And then as you look at what happened after Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, you see that Daniel is protected. Look at verse 19. Then at day, at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was. He cried out in a... Oh, by the way, y'all do know, even though I didn't enumerate it. So because of the law, they had to throw Daniel in the lion. The king tried. Amen. He couldn't rescue him. So Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and that's when the stone was put on the mouth of it, right? I want you to kind of picture this. This was pretty typical back in these days. When they wanted to kill people, they would use lions. Okay, much of the royalty had lions. And so if you watch any of those Asian movies, you'll see lions and tigers that kings own, okay? And so in this case, they had this den that the lions were near the bottom, right? There was a door and entrance, so you let the lions in. But the victim is thrown in from the top. So there's no way out. Once you're thrown in, you're in. Your lions meet. That was the whole idea. You're in to die.
Yes.
That was the schemer's plan. But to make sure, now Daniel couldn't crawl out anyway, but I'm going to show you how when schemers plot, they want to make sure that there is absolutely no way anybody's going to help Daniel.
Amen.
So you put the stone on top of it,
yes,
and you put the king's signet ring on it. You don't mess with anything what the king has sealed. That's the whole idea. They thought for sure, we got him now. We got him. We got him now. But then you get to verse 19. And so it says, then at break of day, the king rose and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was. He cried out in the tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you? And this is amazing, isn't it? This is amazing. Now you think about it for a minute. The king has been up all night. Now he's been up all night wondering, could Daniel survive those lions? Nobody survives lions. But Daniel's different. See, the king apparently is the only one that recognizes Daniel's different. And it's just one man and a lot of hungry lions. And soon as the law is over at daybreak, soon as the law is over, as he's able to go check it out, who in the world would go to a lion's pit where a man has been in there with lions all night long? Lions haven't had anything to eat.
Amen.
He's been in there with lions all night long. Pull the stone away and say, Daniel. Now you come on now. You can't just read through this text. The king has to have some faith. I've seen God do something for this man. You see what I'm saying? He didn't even sleep that night because he knew what we did to Daniel was wrong. And Daniel believes in this guy. You remember he refers to, before he threw him in there, he says, Daniel made your God. He ain't placed his faith in Daniel's God, but he knows that Daniel's God is mighty. I'm good. Now, I know you read this story before. You need to think.
Yes, sir.
It takes some faith. Even if you are a Christian, it takes some faith to think a man has been down there with a hungry lion all night long. The stone, you can't even see. You see, the whole idea, you put the stone up there, you can't see nothing. The lions don't know who they eat. All they know is I smell some food. They don't know Daniel from nobody else.
Yes.
If it was left up to the lions.
Yes.
Thank God it's not left up to the lions. But I just didn't want y'all to run past. This is amazing passage here.
Amen.
Now, I mean, he couldn't wait to get there. As soon as it was daybreak, he ran and came near, and he said, the king declared, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, he still calls him what? Your God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Now, he expects an answer. Yeah, are you tracking me? He expects an answer.
Yeah.
This is the king. This is, he'd make him the biggest fool in his country.
But he, when it comes to this issue right here, he ain't ashamed. When you think about how ashamed Christians are today, to live by faith. This ain't even a believer. He goes there, and he's not ashamed for all of his subjects to see him there wondering, can God pull this off?
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I know you've read the story, but this is amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is absolutely amazing. And then don't you know the king was pleasantly surprised when he hears this voice come back. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Still just as respectful as he's always been. Think of it. I've been done wrong. I ain't going to cuss you out, king. See? I'm not going to tell you... So you couldn't, you know, I ain't going to lay back and talk about what you can't do to me. I'm a child of the king. He didn't do that. No. You see, when it's your character, when your character is respectful, you're respectful all times.
Yes.
Even when you're done wrong.
Come on.
You know you've been done wrong. Everybody else know you've been done wrong. But you don't have to prove anything. Let the Lord fight your battles.
Yeah.
He'll do it. He'll do it.
Yes, he will.
And he'll do a good job of it.
Will.
Old king, live forever.
Yeah.
It gets better. My God. Now see, you see, the king is talking about your God. Daniel said, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king, I've done no harm. That's an humble man right there. You think of it. You're 80 plus years old. Folks throwing you around. I mean, y'all got to think now. This is real.
Yeah.
You think about somebody 80 years old being handled this way. I'm not looking at anybody in this room that's 80 years old. I don't think. I'm almost there, but I ain't there yet. And I can't imagine myself being, and so this is phenomenal this saint can come back with this kind of grace and humility. What I thought about here, listen to me now, what I thought about here, the schemers assumed that Daniel's God could not save him.
Uh-huh.
That was their assumption, wasn't it? But now the king assumed that Daniel's God could save him. Who was right? The king was right. That's the reason you don't read about anybody else running up to the lion's den.
The only person who thought that God could save him was the one there in there looking for man.
Amen.
God's wonderful.
Yes, he is.
God's wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Everybody else may doubt you. Everybody else may assume you're down and out. You'll never get up again.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I just thought of this. Don't minimize when you got somebody that hangs in there with you. They may not be a Christian. They could have got caught up in the thing and not even know it. And so you can't blame everybody. They might not have even known what was going on. Just because they were... You see what I'm saying? Just because they were involved in me today, that everybody had the same malicious intent. So the Christian, you can't just broad brush everybody. You need to deal with people individually. Daniel didn't say, King, I know you signed the law, and you know, I wouldn't be in here if it wasn't for you. He says, live forever. I respect you now, just like I did when I was your right hand man.
Yes, sir.
You're the one that got me in here. But I respect you just as much now as I did.
This is grace. This is grace, Christian. This is grace. God sent his angel, miraculously subdued the lions, and saved Daniel. And every Christian said, amen. Amen. And then finally, I know I've been long, so we're going to try to wrap this up. We look at Daniel out of the lion's den. Verse 23. Then the king was exceedingly glad. I know he was. And commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Amen. Daniel was delivered because he trusted in his God. That's what the Bible says, right? That's what your Bible says?
Yeah.
Because he trusted in his God, he was delivered. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says there was no harm found on him. The Bible wants us to make note of that. That it makes absolutely no sense for this 80 plus year old man to come up out of an ordeal like this and have nothing wrong with it. Even the fact that they threw him down in there should have been something wrong.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Telling you, we got to learn to walk by faith.
Yes, sir.
You don't read Daniel's kicking and screaming. I'm too old for it. You shouldn't be treating me like that. You don't read all that.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the EDO and I'm going to do this and I'm going to fight you. You ain't doing all that. I'm serious. You ain't doing all that. My help comes from the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let the Lord fight your
help. Yes, sir.
Christians,
I'm telling you, this is a different time. The time is the same. God is calling for a different people.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
We're not just looking at Daniel.
Well, come on, brother.
I'm telling you, God is calling us to serve him the way we ought to.
Amen.
In the midst of a twisted generation and world.
Yeah.
And you say, well, it's just a few of us. That was one man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It was four of them all together.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's just one man who's got to stand by himself. Uh-huh. And he's over 80 years old.
Uh-huh.
So don't come up with excuses. You know what we can do? Well, I'm past my prime, man. I used to do that. I can't do that. See, Daniel ain't doing all that. That's the way we think. That's the way we think.
Amen.
Y'all do know that there's no retirement plan.
Amen.
There's no certain age that you reach and you say, oh, I made it. You see, we love to sing. I'm going to serve him. What? That's a good song. But you think.
Uh-huh.
You just say, I'm going to serve until I retire. No. You wouldn't even listen to that song if somebody sung that with you. I'm going to serve until I retire. That don't even make good sense. That don't even rhyme. We ain't going to put that in there.
Amen.
But we think that way. No. So, Daniel is delivered because he trusted in God, and God showed that there'd be no harm done to him. And I just believe that God is showing you and me that it doesn't matter about your age. If you're still living, God's got work for you to do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come. You on a walker? You can't walk. It doesn't matter. No, you can't do what you used to do. That ain't the issue. God, if you can't do what you used to do, then God's not asking you to do that. But do what he is asking you to do.
Yes.
Right? Do what you can do.
Yes.
Telling you, Christian, it's time for us to think differently. And then notice what happens. The enemy gets destroyed. This sounds kind of like the old Haman story. Doesn't it? You know that story? Verse 24, and the The king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And this is amazing. Now, y'all, you're looking at your Bible? You need to look at this next sentence. If this next sentence don't bring some clarity to what I'm talking about, then you're not thinking this morning. You're not thinking. Now look at the next sentence in verse 24. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. That was what was normally supposed to happen.
Amen.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible wanted you to see what is normal. Just to see, so you can see how great a miracle this was.
Yes.
That God worked. God turned the wicked scheme back on their heads. And I noticed this. Sinful plans negatively affect more than the people who are directly involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I don't even know if they're what the Bible doesn't really say whether their wives and children were a part of it. But I'm telling you, if you think that sin is just going to affect you, you're wrong. Sinful plans affect other people around us. And so this situation reminds me of one thing. You see, I'll write it down. Look at this. I don't want you to ever forget this. The den, the lion's den, is not a safe place when God's not with you.
Amen.
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 Don't you learn that?
Amen.
Yea, that's the King James. Let's see. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I fear no evil. Why?
Thou art with me.
When God is with you, it's safe. When God is not with you, it's dead.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Christian, we have hope because God is with us.
Yeah.
And what Brother Billy told us earlier, when you think of, when you look at these promises that were made to these patriarchs, promises that were made to Sarah and to all the women down through the years. Okay, these promises that were made, God kept the promise. The issue wasn't how long it took him, but he's faithful.
Yeah, yeah.
God is with you. He'll pull it off.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he will. My.
He'll pull it off. And then finally, God is exalted. So this is an amazing thing. Now look at what the king did. The king, and then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He still knows he's got Daniel's God. But he knows that he's the God that ought to be worshipped and served. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen. King Darius knows personally now that God Almighty rules over all the events of history. He's the only true and living God who can rescue his people from any and every circumstance. Now, you've been very patient. And I, as we bring this to a close, I want you to think with me now. You got to think. You thinking?
Amen.
I've told you last time, and I'll tell you again this week. These events are types, shadows.
Yeah, come on,
brother. These events in the Old Testament are given for us to look forward. Okay? Now, if you're thinking with me, and I'm saying to you that Daniel, this life, this event that we just read about in the life of Daniel, is preparing us for what was going to happen to Jesus 500 years later. 500 years after this event, we find God sent his son. He's the only one that has lived the perfect life.
Yes.
He's the only one that perfectly obeyed God. And he's the only one where it can be said, we find no fault in him.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
The only one that has ever walked the face of the earth. Who could not, because when they said this about Daniel, they didn't mean that he was perfect. That just meant he did a good job.
Amen.
When you say it about Jesus, it means he's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't just mean Jesus did a good job. It meant there was no sin in him.
Yeah.
Nowhere, no time, anyhow.
Yes.
He's tempted in all ways that we are, yet what? Without sin. No sin in him. So those in authority plotted and schemed against Jesus because they couldn't find any fault in him. Right?
Yes.
They plotted and they schemed and they used traitors like Judas and false witnesses to try to trap him because they couldn't find any fault in him.
Well,
to try to destroy him. And you know, they felt confident that they had him when they saw him arrested. They felt confident that they had him when they saw him brutally beaten. They felt confident that they had him when they saw him mocked.
Yeah.
And crucified. They felt confident that they had him and they defeated him when they saw him willingly die. They saw him laid in a tomb. They thought for sure they had him when they rolled a stone in front of the tomb and put the king's signet on it and put guards and soldiers in front of it. By the way, they did have guards at Daniel's place too, just
Amen.
To make sure nobody could go in there and move the stone.
Amen.
And so you see all these types and shadows.
Mm.
They thought the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers and the mockers thought for sure they had him, but they forgot one thing. You cannot defeat God.
Yeah.
They didn't consider that the best of schemes and plots can't defeat God. They didn't consider the fact that even when you see the Son of God willingly give up his life, it doesn't mean that he's dead forever. They didn't realize that the God of Daniel is just as powerful now as he was back then.
Yeah.
The God who could save Daniel from lions can save his son from the last enemy, which is death. Daniel's testimony of love for God serves as an example for you and me today, right? Daniel's testimony of faith in the Lord and his faithfulness to what the Lord assigned his hands to do serves as an example for you and me today. But my brother, my sister, Daniel lived 2,500 years ago. God needs somebody to live for him right now. We can't keep reading about Daniel.
Yeah.
And it brings joy to my heart, to my soul, to read the story of Daniel.
Amen.
But that was 2,500 years ago.
Uh-huh.
God needs some Daniels right now.
Yes,
amen?
Yeah.
He needs them today. He needs you and me to let our light shine before men, that they see your good works and glorify who? Your Father who is in heaven.
Yes.
God needs someone to live faithfully, whether you're 13 or 83. You need somebody to live faithful, whether you got the lowest position in your job or whether you're at the highest position with many, many people reporting to you. God needs somebody to live faithful today, whether you are in whether you live in an apartment, your own home, a retirement home, or government housing. God needs somebody to be faithful today.
Yeah.
Faithful. My brother, my sister, are you willing to be a faithful witness for Christ? Even if you have to stand alone. Nobody in your family stands. Are you willing to stand? Nobody in your church stands. Are you willing to stand for the Lord? You willing to stand even when you know people are plotting and scheming against you? Those close to you, smiling in your face. And you know as soon as they walk away, they're trying to get information to tear you down. Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to stand alone even if you know The way you live is going to lead to a modern day lion's den. Well, you got to trust God to bring you out when people think you'll never get up again. Are you willing to go that far for Jesus and trust him to deliver you? I hope your answer is yes. Yes, Lord. I'll go and I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you're not a Christian, the lion's den is not the greatest danger for you. The lions and any other danger in this life can only kill the body. But there's a den of eternal punishment after death that's misery forever for unbelievers. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save you from this misery. And so I'm asking you today, if you're not a Christian, would you put your trust in Jesus? If you're not a Christian, would you believe in him today? He's here to save. Only believe. Our Father, we thank you that these episodes from history have been left for us to learn. We thank you that in men like Daniel and the women of the Bible, we learn that you're just as faithful then as you are now. Father, as we bow together, we ask you to forgive us for the times when we've not stood faithfully as we should. Forgive us for the times when our character has not come forth as it should on in the places where we serve. Lord, help us today as we bow to think about these matters, to find true repentance and a greater resolve to live out our days in a way that will bring glory to you. We're thankful that you are not a man that you should change your mind. You know exactly what you've called us to do. And now, Lord, would you lead us in the way that we ought to go and save a soul today for Jesus' name's sake. We ask it in his name. Amen. Let's bow together for just a minute, and then we'll...